So I grew up in Houston, and I went to a school, fourth and fifth grade. It was in Alief, Texas, a subsection of Houston, Smith Elementary. I can call them out now because it's been enough years. You look at me, you're like, dude, there's probably not even a school there anymore. Like, they had schools back then? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Let me slap you. It was a round school. They built this thing round. This was in the 70s, and in the 70s, they didn't want to stifle creativity, so they had a round school. Apparently, corners stifle creativity. I don't know. They didn't have walls in between the classrooms because that would stifle creativity. You know what? It stifled my ability to learn because I am legit ADD. And so I'm trying to listen to my teacher, and there's a teacher over here and a teacher over here, and that's on the inner circle and then the outer circle, and no walls, no doors, just a little walkway, and then right over here is a teacher here and there. Dude. And yet I made great grades. You know why I made great grades? Because I got to grade my own homework and grade my own tests. Because they believed, they had bought into the idea that kids are basically good and they don't need rules. Just set them free and they will always do what's right. Every parent in here, right? You're like, you kidding me? Yeah. In fact, we didn't have to ask to go to the restroom. We trust them. You don't have to raise your hand and ask. You just go. Come back when you're ready. Dude, I wandered those halls like nobody business, but I made A's. It was awesome. Yeah, 2 years, learned nothing. In fact, that's when I lost my ability to do math right then, because I was really good at math until fourth and fifth grade. And this was at the beginning of the self-esteem movement. James Dobson was huge in this. Calling him out, not trying to put anybody down, but James Dobson was huge in this. And so I would go down through the halls and I would see pictures of, like, there was a thumbprint. You are special. You're unique. There's no one in the universe like you. Of course, now I think you're special and unique, just like everyone else, right? Because we all are, apparently. And if we all are... And it was, you never want to hurt the child's feelings. You don't tell them they're wrong. You just try to redirect. You never say, that's wrong. Dude, sometimes things are wrong. That was the beginning of what you're now seeing come to fruition. And like I said, we're going to step on some toes. Dobson in the 70s actually said, he wrote about Lee Harvey Oswald. And he said, the problem with Lee Harvey Oswald, the guy who shot JFK, who, by the way, if you're a QAnon supporter, isn't coming back, cut that crap out. You're making the rest of us look dumb. All right? Trump ain't coming back next month, and JFK is still dead. Just so you know, Elvis is alive, but just so you know. All right. He wrote that the problem with Lee Harvey Oswald was he had low self-esteem, and Dobson honestly believed that if you could improve people's self-esteem, they wouldn't sin much. That is hellaciously wrong. Chose the word on purpose. Ridiculous. And the church bought into that, and that began the me movement that you're now seeing. And again, I'm not looking to just say terrible culture, bad culture, bad culture. I'm just saying that began it. We are, by the way, let me pause right here. I want to keep going, but let me pause. We're trying to figure out how to keep you from freezing in this place. We don't want to be the frozen chosen. It may get a little warm because I turned it up an extra degree. Corey may choose to turn it down at that extra degree because I see some people fanning themselves. And... I don't want you going like, hey, that sermon was fire. No, actually, it's just hot in there. I don't want to do that. All right. That began the cult of self, and that is dogma. That is unquestionable dogma for our current age. You know this because you're living in it. Whitney wrote about it years ago. The greatest love of all is what? Self-love. Learning to love yourself. Yeah, nah, man, that's just ridiculous. That's selfish. Be your authentic self. Follow your passions. You be you. Speak your truth. And the implied conclusion to this is that you'll be happy and live well if you do these things. If you live your truth, if you focus on you, if you learn to love yourself, if you take enough self-care breaks, man, you're going to be happy and everything's going to be awesome. You're the only one who can tell you what's best for you and your life. Hey, how's that working out for us as a culture and as a society? How's that going? Are we getting better? Are we progressing upward? Are we more loving towards everyone because we've learned to love ourselves? Are we better off culturally? Are we more unified now that we've all learned to love ourselves and we've spent all this time focusing on self? How's that working out for us? Again, this is our world. Trust yourself. You're stronger than you know. And we'll say this well-meaning to one another. You can handle whatever happens to you. You can do this. I believe in you. And there's something missing in every single one of those. We'll get there. Here's the big idea for today. When I live under the lordship of Jesus Christ, he is in large and in charge. I surrender my freedom to do whatever I want, and I find myself free from the tyranny of self. The greatest tyranny there is a tyranny of self. I have to follow my drives, my passions, and the things that I think set me free as I followed my flesh and what I desired and what I wanted are the very things that I will find if I travel this road enslave me. And some of you know this because you're dealing with addictions and you hope nobody finds out, right? I'm looking around to see how many kids we got. I think we're okay. And maybe the addiction is one of those ones that's culturally acceptable, but you don't want to tell people in church. And so maybe it's a porn addiction. Maybe it's a prescription addiction. Hey, it's a prescription. That's okay. Maybe it's an alcohol addiction. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it is just a focus on me and I constantly need all the attention addiction. Maybe it's an ego addiction. Maybe it's a click like on my Facebook addiction. When I live under the lordship of Jesus Christ, he is the one I focused on, and he is my Lord, and he is my King, and I seek him for everything. I surrender my freedom to do whatever the frig I want, and I find myself free from the tyranny of self, which is the greatest tyranny there is. Let me remind you where we've been so far, and then we'll jump into this. We said that roots are strongholds of deception, lies that we have believed and acted upon. And so 4 weeks ago, we said that one of those roots is, I think that my life is what I have and what I can get. I think my life consists of the abundance of my possessions, and I get all I can get, and I hold on to it, and I need more. And we talked about how that doesn't life at all. In fact, it all goes back in the box. It's not about what I can get. And then we looked at 3 weeks ago, my life is about power and control, and if I can just have authority over others, I'll finally be happy. And I need power in the relationship. I need power at work, in my world, in my life. No, Jesus said, the Gentiles seek after those things. Not so with you. You want to be great, be a servant. You want to be the greatest, be a slave. That was 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to trust God with it, because if I forget, I'm letting him off the hook. No, you're letting yourself off the hook. Bitterness is a root of deception that the Bible says grows up, springs up, and defiles many. And then, of course, last week you talked about grace. Let me say it again. Lies that take root become strongholds of the enemy in our lives. And don't think for a minute that just because you know Jesus, that can't happen to you and me, because it does. You ever met Christians who are just bitter? You ever been that person? Oh, you don't have to admit, but yeah, I have. Yeah, and it just cuts off everything else. Because if I'm unwilling to show grace, I don't receive grace. We looked at that in Matthew 7. So truth, when we talk about truth versus lies, truth is that, and again, I'm just reviewing, truth is that which corresponds to reality. Reality about people, about self. Who am I? Am I just a higher form of animal? Am I something else? Was I created in the image of God? God, is there a God? What's he like? And what's the world like? And if I live by truth according to what really is and what God says is, then it leads to human flourishing. It leads to flourishing in my life and in the lives of those around me. Lies and deception, therefore, lead to human misery and ruin. And there's a lot of deception out there. How about this one? You can walk apart from God without consequences. You can do whatever the frig you want, and there are no, yeah, there are. There are going to be some consequences. That's a lie. Look out for number one. Do what leads to whatever is best for you. Don't worry. Ain't nobody else worrying about you. You look out for number one in life, and you'll be happy. You'll also be alone, and ain't nobody going to like you, just so you know. If you finally get enough money, you will be happy. You ever watch those shows of the people who won the lottery? Some of them do okay. Not everybody. Yeah. The adversary deceives. It's his main weapon. When we think about the enemy, the devil, his main weapon is deception. His main weapon isn't some girl levitating off a bed, spinning around her head and spitting pea soup. That's nice for Hollywood. That ain't it. Roots are strongholds of deception, places where I believed the lie and acted on it. Jesus exposes lies. He sets us free. He says to the Jews, to the religious leaders, If you abide in my word, in other words, you remain in my teaching, then you are truly disciples, my disciples, then you will know the truth. His word is truth. It corresponds to the way he created the world. Then you will know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. So let's do it this way. The adversary appears, and he says this, "Hey, bro, I'm the devil. Stop trusting God. I'm way cooler than he is. Trust me." Now, that one's easy. Hard pass. Be gone. I ain't interested. Like, dude, you're the father of lies. I ain't listening to you. That's not the way that works. Here's how he actually, in fact, before I do that, I'm going to show you how he works. We'll spend some time on that today. But first, let me do this, because I think we probably should. I'm familiar with the stats, like you may be as well. Satan who? The devil who? Lucifer who? Apparently 40% of people who self-identify as Christians would say that there is no such thing as a devil. There's an evil force or just bad things, but there is no devil. By the way, I was looking it up, and Satan, if you look in the Bible dictionary, there's Hebrew, but it's from of Chaldee origin, and it says that corresponding to a word that is spelled M-A-B-A-D. My bad, Satan. My bad. Did I do that? My bad. I love that. Is there a devil? Before I even do this, before we go further, let's just make sure we're on the same page. Jesus said, "I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning." We say we believe in Jesus. Everything we know about Jesus is found in the scriptures. He says, I was a witness to Satan falling from heaven like lightning. And he's given a firsthand account of Isaiah 14:12, which says basically the same thing. Yeah, the scriptures say there is. Jesus says there is. Gives firsthand account. So how does he work? The Bible says we're not ignorant of his schemes. Paul says, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his designs or schemes. The context of that, by the way, is forgiving someone. There was a guy who was sleeping with his mommy, wouldn't repent. They had to throw him out of church. And he has repented, and he's telling the Corinthians, hey, invite him back. Don't be so filled with pride. Oh, we're so good, we're so holy, we're not going to hang out with that guy. Listen, he repented, invite him back, instead of staying bitter and unforgiving. Otherwise, you're outwitted by Satan and his designs, his schemes. Because the root of deception was a stronghold there, bitterness. Here's how the enemy works. He doesn't say, stop trusting God, start trusting me. He says something different. We're going to look in Genesis 3. Take this journey with me. Genesis chapter 3. The enemy said to the woman, did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden? By the way, had he said that? No, that's not what he said at all. He confuses her from the get. She's on defense now. Did God really say that? The woman said to the serpent, we can eat the fruit from the trees in the garden. Of course we can. But the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. By the way, she added to it. That's just human nature, right? He said, don't eat it. She says, you can't eat it or touch it. He never said that. But she's got the gist. No, you will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. Immediately contradicts the word of God and introduces uncertainty about the only thing she knows to be true, which is God's command. God didn't say, no, not at all. You're not going to die. He goes on, he says, in fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened. And you're going to be like God, knowing good from evil. Hey, sis, he's keeping something from you. He's a scared, petty little tyrant who doesn't want you to become like him. He wants to keep you under his thumb. He's afraid that you're going to become like him. He's keeping you from your best life. The enemy doesn't say this. You should follow and serve me instead of serving God. That's not what he says. The enemy says you should follow and serve yourself and become like God. There's the shift. See, it's easy if you say you should become, you should serve me. The devil says that. I'm going like, yeah, no, I don't think so. Maybe he says, hey, Brian, you're pretty good at making decisions, and maybe this is right for you. Maybe you've been lied to. Maybe this would make you really smart. Maybe this would make you better. Maybe this would be incredible for you. This is a great moment. That's a temptation. Believe the deception. Follow your desires. Become your own God. Trust yourself to decide how to move forward instead of trusting God. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at. She trusted her insight. Oh, it looks like some good fruit. I bet that would be juicy, run down my chin, pool into my lap. Yeah. That it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. She trusted her insight, her desires. She decided that God must be keeping her from something good that she wanted. She was enslaved by God, and she was going to get set free. How dare he keep this from me? She took some of its fruit. She ate it. God had said, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And she did spiritually in that moment. She died spiritually. Separation occurs because sin always separates. Sin always separates. And Adam now has a choice to make. He either follows God and he is separated from his wife, or he follows his wife and he's going to be separated from God, because that's what sin does. By the way, people who've sinned and are in sin are often evangelists for sin. Christians are really good at hiding it, so they don't do it as well. But overall, just our world. When I was in the midst of addiction, and I was with my friend in Austin for a while, and staying in his dorm room when he wasn't entertaining, I introduced a whole lot of people to getting stoned. Why? Because that's how I connect. If I'm going to get stoned, they had to get stoned with me. It was definitely sin, because even if you go through, well, you know, these days it's legal. I didn't want to go into that. Back then it was illegal, so you don't even have to worry about it. Yeah, I wonder how many of them got free and how many of them got ensnared like I did. People who are in sin will often become evangelists for their sin. So she took some of its fruit, she ate it. She gave some of its fruit, gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. By the way, don't read into this the gender. That's not the point. The man would have done, I'm sure, the same thing. It's not about, well, she is a woman, she's weaker. Dude, stub your toe, get a cold, and then talk to her about how tough you are. Come on.
Oh, baby, I can't. I just can't move today. I got a cold.
Baby, I gave childbirth.
I know, this is like that. Right?
Yeah. That's why women are crazy, because you're dumb as an ox. So it's not about the woman. It's about a human falling and wanting company in the fall, and don't miss what happened. They've both eaten the fruit. They've both died spiritually. The enemy didn't lie. You will know good from evil. That's true. But they knew it now, not from the good side, but the evil side, because the enemy loves to give half-truths. The shift was not from faith in God's command to faith in the adversary. It was from faith in God to faith in self. And here's the results. Check it out. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. So what had been innocent and pure and open and authentic and transparent and nothing to hide, intimate, is now shaming and hiding. Immediately with the fall came shame. So they sewed fig leaves together. They made coverings for themselves. Dude, you got some naughty bits. You should cover those. Well, so do you. Son of a gun, I do. I guess we got to cover those things. Shame and hiding. And then comes blaming. And check out where the blame goes. The Bible says that God comes and he calls out, hey, Adam, where are you? Does God not know? God knows. Adam needs to hear. Adam, where are you? Adam shows up, fig leaves and all, sporting the latest style. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And this is that moment. You ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos, and you got the kid that's got makeup all over her face, and the mama says, did you get mama's makeup? And she says what? No. This is that moment, right? God already knows. Hey, did you eat from the true tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now, he knows he's caught, so he can't even say no. He says, well, you know, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate. Totally throwing her under the bus as the wheels go round and round of the bus in order to blame God. if you hadn't given me her, she wouldn't have tempted me. I wouldn't have eaten. Oh, man, that's what sin looks like. Check out that pattern. Check this out. Trusted themselves over God. We know what's best. Acted on what they wanted. And then when it went sideways, they blamed God. Sound familiar? Right? God, why are you doing this to me? And God says, bro, we ain't even talked for years. You don't do nothing I say. I didn't do nothing to you. You just got the consequences of your actions. The adversary, let me say it again, doesn't say stop trusting God and start trusting me, because that'd be easy. You're the father of lies. No. The adversary says you can believe in God and you can love Jesus if you want. Although you need to know, he may not have your best interest at heart. He may not know best. So always trust yourself. Always trust yourself. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Read the word. Know the word. But filter it through. Is this best for me in my life right now? In what I think I need? Your gut, your intuition, your strength, your desires. Be true to your authentic self. Maybe God made a mistake. Maybe you were born differently. Maybe you ought to be, ooh, now we're stepping close, right? Maybe you ought to run after. I know the word says that. Maybe it doesn't really mean that. And then just filter the word of God through that lens. What do I think is best? Oh, we just nailed a whole lot of our Christian faith because we've been discipled by our culture that began with the self-esteem movement, and you know what's best. The lie isn't that the devil has a better way than God. The lie is that you know better and your world knows better than the creator of everything that exists. That's the lie. The lie is that you can't fully trust God. Not if you want to be free, not if you want to enjoy life. Autonomy, not the lack of faith, is the deception. Autonomy. You want to be free. Love Jesus, but do what you want, what you desire. Hey, how'd that work out for our first parents? How'd that work out for their kids? Not so well. When Jesus is in the advisory role, I can still claim Christianity. And I can consider what God says based on how I feel and what I think I need, and that's scary. By the way, God does say things like, be strong and courageous. It isn't exactly the same as you got this, but it's pretty close to it. Make your own decisions. Be your authentic self. Live your truth. God says be strong and courageous. Let's look at several of these. Let's look at where the scripture does say that. Every time God says be strong and courageous, there's something else that comes with it. Let me show you this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. Ooh, that's a good memory verse. I'll just memorize that. I'm good because I got a verse. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not be in dread of them. We know them are probably politicians or the people on the other side of the aisle. We know that. I think contextually, that's probably it, right? Fear not. Do not be dismayed. I have said these things to you that you may have peace. Ooh, okay. All you do is memorize, I got peace. And it's subtle. It's straight from the enemy and the sin nature. Just trust yourself. God said be strong. I can even use those verses as I read them. Now look at what it really says, because that's not what it says. Let me show you what it really says. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Why? God is with me. I'm not enough. He is. That's the point. Be strong and courageous because he's with you. You got your ultimate big brother. That's why. Because he's empowering you, because his spirit lives within you. Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Courage, yeah, because I got the ultimate big brother. He fights the battles with his strength, sometimes through me, but it's always his strength. And if we're being honest, even my next breath comes from him. Even the things I think I can do on my own, if he hadn't given me the beating of the heart, the mind, the intellect, the courage, the ability, I wouldn't be able to do it. Fear not, be not dismayed. What about this one? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's our God. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Memorizing a verse does not give me peace. It's good to memorize verses. I'm all for it. Just knowing a bunch of verses just means you know a bunch of verses. Only in Christ do I have peace. In fact, he says you're not going to have it in the world. Not in my methods, not in my meditation, not in my memorization of verses, not in my... In Christ I have lasting peace, and it's not as the world gives. Now allow me to hurt your feelings for a moment. You're not enough. You're not strong on your own, and neither am I. And you're going to be tempted to think you are. You're not enough. And I know you want to think you are. I know I want to think I am. Let me show you. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, says he saw some amazing revelations. He was taken up into what he calls the third heaven. I don't get all of that. I just know he sees some things in visions that are incredible. And he's really tempted to say, man, I am all that. For God to show me that, I'm super saint. I know things that other Christians have never seen. And there's danger in being prideful. And here's what he says. Therefore, because I've seen these things, so that I would not exalt, lift high, be prideful in myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would not exalt myself. I don't have time to unpack all of that, but it is still mind-blowing to me. Let me start here. Twice he says, so that I would not exalt myself. You think he sees a purpose in this? But here's what is just mind-blowing to me. What's the gift from God? It's a thorn in the flesh. What's the origin? A messenger of Satan. The word for messenger is angelos. We get the word what from it? Angel. Yeah. Angels we have heard get high and we're very upset. I think that's the way that song goes. Is that? I don't know. I'll check into it. We got people looking into it. Yes. An angel. So a demon was sent to torment Paul. By God. God uses even the enemy for his purposes. How good is your God? You say, oh man, the enemy's getting me, the enemy. Then trust God through it because God's got a purpose in it. Your God is good. As you're trusting him, he can take care of whatever is going on. Even the bad things can be redeemed for good if you'll trust God through them. Yeah. So that I would not exalt myself. Why? Because I've seen some amazing things. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times. We went into three seasons of prayer. God, take it away. God, this hurts. God, I don't like this. He said to me, nah, bro. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in, oh, yeah, in weakness, right? Yeah, not in self-sufficiency. Not in, I'll let you know if I need anything, Lord, right now. I think I got this. But something comes up that's major, like, you know, spouse goes in the hospital, something. Then I'll let you know, but right now I'm good. I'll just blame you then. No. Not in, I can handle this addiction on my own. I read about so-and-so, had a cocaine addiction, walked away free. You know why you heard about them? Because they're rare. And for every one you heard that walked away from heroin or cocaine or whatever it was, there's about 1,000. Who thought they could do it on their own, had a miserable life, made everybody else miserable, and then died. No, you can't do it on your own. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected. It comes to completion in you in weakness. The greater strength is reaching out for help and saying, I can't do this. Therefore, I will gladly boast, most gladly boast, all the more about my weaknesses. Hey, when I brag, I'm going to brag about what I can't do. Said no one ever except Paul. Might have been smart. So that Christ's power may reside in me. I'll brag about the fact that I need God, that I'm not my own God. Why? Because that's how I see God active and working in my life. And watch the freedom. I love the freedom he has here. It's one that I desire to emulate. So I take pleasure in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties for the sake of Christ. Like if someone gives me a hard time because I'm a jerk, I deserve that. But if I'm serving Jesus and I go through these hard times, hey man, that's cool because it makes me rely on Jesus. And when I'm weak, then I'm strong in him. Oh, that's good. His strength through me. When I'm weak, then I'm strong in him. You're not enough. You're not strong on your own. And it's the best news you could get today because it sets you free from trying so hard and that unbelievable pressure of trying to make it through because all these people are saying, I believe in you and you're strong and you can do this. And, oh, one of the worst, God will never give you more than you can handle. Yeah, that's cool. I don't know who that God is because I've read the scriptures, but hey, way to go. But I've been through some things where I had to rely on God and call out to him or I wasn't going to make it. And you live long enough, it's going to happen to you too. Everything in the world is telling you that you are strong enough, that you are enough, and you're not. And your strength robs you of opportunities to experience God's strength in you. I don't need you, Lord. I don't need you, Lord. Fine. Lord, I do need you. I was wrong. Good. I've been waiting for that. And here's what you need to know. Their well-meaning encouragement, and sometimes we do this with one another, because we've been discipled by our world. Their well-meaning encouragement, apart from encouraging you to trust Jesus, is robbing you of what God wants to bless you with, his presence and his power. That's what he desires for you. Your God loves you too much to let you stay like you are. You're not enough. You're not strong on your own. You're designed for relationship with fellow believers in King Jesus by grace through faith. And both of those are important, the lordship of Jesus and fellow believers. And see, the thing is, I don't have to beat a drum. I'm not looking to make any big case here. No guilt. You're already in church. I ain't trying to talk you into doing anything. What I'm saying is God will place you in a body, a family, a church, a spiritual home, and he will say, here you are. And then you get to decide how deep you go, what kind of connections you make. Introverts, it'll take a lot longer. Extroverts, you've got everybody's number already and you're already Facebook friends, right? In fact, you're already stalking their Instagram. Hey, just so you know, you freak some of the rest of us out. Just so you know. But we love you because we need you. Otherwise, we'd all just sit in a corner and stare at each other from across the room. We need you. You're designed for relationship. And within this place, you need to know this. This is a safe place to say, I'm not okay and I need help. This is the place. You need to listen. This is a place. You're arguing with your spouse, knock down, drag out. You don't have to smile when you walk in the door. You can come find somebody here that'll pray for you. Hey, man, we just had a knocked out. I don't know that we're going to stay together. I mean, it was bad. Can you pray for me? I'm really broken right now. Yes, it would be my pleasure and my honor to. And there are many of us here that'd be glad to. It doesn't have to be me. We're not pastor-centered. Many of us. You come in here and you're, man, dude, I thought I had this thing, and I so screwed up that I spent all last night getting high, and I don't know how to stop. Can you pray for me? Can you go with me to a meeting? Can you? Yes, thank you for asking. This is a safe place. With our men, hey, I got this girl I'm working with. By the way, none of our guys have said this, just so you know. Not within this past couple of years, way back when. Hey, I got this girl that I work with, and man, every time I see her, she just, my ego feels good, and she's showing me a lot of attention. And I'm really scared. Thank you for trusting me with that. I'm going to keep you accountable. And you need to go talk to your wife, too, and tell her, because she's your help. She's not in your way. She's there to help you. This is a safe place to not be okay. And it has to be. And yes, because we're all disparate, different kind of people, there will be some immature, young, know-it-all person who's going to come in here at some point, and you're going to go and say, hey, look, I got a problem. And they're going to say, well, you know, if you just trusted Jesus more, you would walk away from them, laugh as you do, and go to one of the rest of us. It'll happen. But this is a safe place, and it will be. It has to be. We're designed for relationship with fellow believers and with King Jesus by grace through faith. Bible says, as in one body, we have many members. The members don't have the same function, so we, though we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We belong to one another, and we need what each one has, all of us. And for some of you, say, man, I don't have any official role. Are you praying? Are you welcoming folks? Do you worship well? Because, man, I tell you, that warms a man's heart. Yeah. We belong to one another. You're not enough. You're not strong on your own. You're designed for relationship with fellow believers in King Jesus by grace through faith, the point of the cross. You can't save yourself. Otherwise, Christ wasted his time suffering and dying on a cross, bleeding out You're not enough on your own. Even to get to heaven, even to have a relationship with God, Christ had to bleed and die. And he did it willingly and even joyfully for you and I. The Bible says that in Jesus, all human beings live and move and have our being. You're sucking in air. You're going to eat some food later because King Jesus wills it. You need him. The answer to myself as Lord of my own life is the Lordship of Christ by way of a living sacrifice, so I am no longer my own God. Did you catch that? Let me show you. I'm going to go a little further. I'm going to pass that one. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, in view of all that he has done for you, present your bodies. This is who I am, Lord, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In other words, you're constantly taking in the word and praying and asking God to lead you, his lordship, because the world is discipling and you have to counteract it with something or else that drift will just continue and you won't even notice it. And then by testing, because you have made him Lord, because you have made him Lord, you have given him lordship over you. You may discern what is the will of God. You want to know God's will? Give yourself over to him and he'll lead you on the daily. What is good and acceptable and perfect. The root of deception is this. I can't fully trust God in all things. Some of us struggle with that even now. I can't fully trust him, so I need to run everything through my own heart and my own head. You know what that means? I'm Lord of my life. Jesus is in an advisory capacity. No one can tell me what to do. I got to tell you, man, consequences are going to be a bear. I'm telling you now. Listen to me. Trust me. I'm enough. I can do this. Dude, that is incredible pressure that you were never meant to carry. I need you, Jesus, daily. Just so I don't slap that person I work with. Just for the little things, Lord. Not to mention the big things. I need you on the daily. Right? So how is life working out for you if you're not trusting him? Because your life is perfectly designed to give you the results you're now getting. And if you want change, saying I want change isn't going to work. You're going to have to do something. Something in your life has got to change. How's that working out for them? You're strong. You can do it all. And we mean well. We're encouraging. Live your truth. Be your authentic self. What if your authentic self is a jerk and a half? Maybe you shouldn't be your authentic self. Maybe you should let Jesus change you from the inside out. That sounds like a better idea. Listen, you mean well, but you're wrong. It's always a good day when your pastor tells you you're wrong. Encourage them to seek God. Let them know you'll pray for them, that they're not alone in this. That matters so much more. Dude, I love you. I'm here for you. How can I help? That means something more. We're believers. We help one another in these things. That fruit of that open concept school I went to, not good. Kids need structure. They're not perfect little angels on their own, and every parent knows that. All right? The fruit of the self-esteem movement, this continual focus on self. Mental health in our world hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse as we focused on self and gone on into our own little worlds. And I need another self-care day. Dude, that's all you do anymore. And I realize there may be those times. I get that. But they're not the norm. They're the exception. Our world hasn't gotten better. You want to get better, you focus on God and you pour yourself into serving others according to their needs as God leads and empowers by his Spirit. I am most mentally healthy. And I haven't struggled with mental illness, but I'm most mentally healthy and happy when I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on God, and I'm serving those around me. That's when I'm healthiest. It's when I'm happiest. It's when I'm at my best, because that's how God designed us to work, and it leads to human flourishing. Truth sets us free. Jesus is truth. And it's time for some of us just to go ahead and be set free. And so we're going to pray in a minute, and then I'll see if there's questions, comments, disagreements. But I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you in advance, I'm going to ask you, just lay down the lordship of your life and say, Lord, as long as I know it comes from you, I will follow. That's in advance obedience, and that's what lordship is. For some of you, you just need to go ahead and trust Jesus. You need to place your faith in him. It's good to have some beliefs. Good on you. Now it's time to actually trust Jesus. Let's take a moment and pray.